Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you'll quickly come in and grab a seat, we're about to begin our worship service. Welcome to all of our first-time visitors. It's so good to see you here. Before we get started, I just want to share a few announcements with you, and I have some special guests that I want to introduce and bring up for you briefly. If you will look quickly in your worship bulletins, the Holy Week events, if you'll look quickly, we have everything starting April 7th, Palm Sunday. I'm sorry, April the 1st, Palm Sunday. Regular services, a grand time in the Lord. April 5th is going to be Holy Thursday service beginning at 7 p.m. April the 6th, Good Friday services. We're going to have a noonday service out in the chapel. And in addition to that, a 7 p.m. service right here in the worship center. And on April the 7th, Easter egg hunt time. If you are interested in being a volunteer for that event, if you are savvy regarding sound setup, we would love to have you. Please see me after this service. And on that same day at 12 p.m. in the worship center, we're going to have a special Easter vigil service. Carmen Nelson is in the back. If you'll wave your hand, Carmen. If you're interested in joining the church, perhaps you've been coming for years now and you're still not a member of the church, we've created a special service the day before Easter so you can become a full member of the church. It's called the Easter Vigil Service. We have these little simple fill-out cards on the back tables. If you'll just take a minute or two, fill this out and give this to Carmen, we'll get you all squared away. We'll take it from there. Please consider to become a member if you're not already a member. And, of course, April 8th is Easter Sunday, so we hope that you will invite family and friends to come on out. And you can read the other announcements for yourself, but I did want to highlight those for you. Join me now for the Trinity Liturgy. Welcome home. And why are we here? To worship God. To worship God. If you'll come now, Richard and your wonderful wife, you're going to share a few words with us regarding Cambodia. There you are.
Today. I'm Richard Allen, and this is my wife, Susan Mastin, and we're volunteer directors with Sustainable Cambodia. And we started Sustainable Cambodia in 2001. Cambodian village families have been trying to rebuild their lives since the Khmer Rouge genocide. And yet, Cambodia remains one of the poorest countries in the world, and the poverty there, especially in the rural villages where we live, can be very severe.
So at first we had a small school, but we quickly learned that the families couldn't keep their children in school because they needed them to work beside them in the fields simply to have enough to eat.
So we realized that the program needed to be much more comprehensive, and we began to work with the village families to create a way that they could create a sustainable quality of life in their homes with water, wells, irrigation, water filtration, agriculture, and schools and training.
But we didn't want to be an aid organization, so we built an empowerment model, and the first step we took was with our staff. Only native Cambodians are paid staff. Everyone else from directors and is an unpaid volunteer.
We use a person to fish model, where the village families are empowered to be able to create They actually organize themselves to decide what projects they're going to work on, and then they do the hard work of the projects. They actually dig the wells, they build the schools, they build the water filtration systems. We use a Heifer International program for animal pass-on so that the families pass on a breeding pair of animals to other families, and each village passes on what they learn to another village so that the program replicates from village to village and grows. And in fact, we have grown now to 15,000 people in 18 villages with more than 100 of our Cambodian staff.
But the heart of the empowerment experience is education. And preschool children go have a nutritious breakfast and become alert, active learners. We have 15 primary schools in remote areas, 15 preschools, 3 major grade schools where hundreds and hundreds of children study their native language, math, English, computers, and mostly they build their self-reliance to build their own dreams. In fact, right now we have over 100 students who are in university on scholarship who are becoming amazing leaders in their communities. They're such heroes for us.
And the children really are the future of the country there, just as our children are the future of our country here. And they constantly inspire us, as does our hardworking Cambodian staff, and as do the village families. And they remind us that anything's possible. If you work hard, you help each other, and you believe. And thank you again for letting us be here today.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Please prepare your hearts and your minds for worship.
Would you please stand and join with me in our opening hymn, Standing on the Promises. Promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Will you at this time join me for one of the oldest creeds of our Christian faith, found in the book of Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
have the joy of the sacrament of baptism, one of the two sacraments of the church. If Amelia Marie, you'll come up with your parents and little brother, that would be great. And then family, a lot of family gathered here. You're welcome to come, or maybe the family could stand right down there, and the immediate family would come on up here. Great. Yeah, stand right here. And I think I've got the last name. Corey. Corey. Okay. Is it Corey? Okay. Good to see you. We were in a parenting class together. That was a lot of fun. And when she was an infant, wow. And you're a pharmacist? You're a pharmacist too? Are you? You both give out drugs? Illegal ones. Let me pray. Little brother, Ian's going to hold the water. Let's pray over the water. God, we thank you for the gift of water. We're going to talk about water today and all that it means. And we thank you for its life-giving nature. And we ask your blessings upon this water. Make it to be a sacrament for us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask you again the questions we asked when Ian was baptized. Do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do you? Do you promise, according to the grace God gives you, to lead a life that's pleasing to God and a good example for your children? And will you rear Amelia and under the ministry and guidance of the church till she can come to know Jesus in a real personal way? Will you? Wonderful. All right. Here you go, Ian. Amelia Marie Horry, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and I make the sign of the cross on you. In God's name, amen. We give you thanks, O God, for this wonderful child. Would you, will you come to me? Yeah, it's okay. I want you to meet your family out here. Dear friends, this is Amelia Marie Horry. Would you welcome her into the life of this church? Yay.
I'll take that from the ear.
And Amelia, here's what your church family wants to say. They're going to promise to love you and support you and be kind of God's arms and hands for you. Would you join me? We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Amen. What do you think? You want to let us sing to you? Let's sing together. I like this girl.
Jesus loved you, we do too. We'll prepare a place for you where you'll grow in faith so strong, and you'll serve Him all life long. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
Special Sunday today. We have the joy of Stepping Stones that are going to sing for us, and we're just thrilled to have Jan Banks, the director of this, and involved in our church, engaged in this way, and we're looking forward to this. Jan, will you say a couple words or no? Okay, good. Well,
good morning.
Good morning.
We are so happy to be here today. One of my favorite parts about working at a Christian preschool is just listening to the little children praise Jesus. And that's what we're going to do today, and I'm sure that you will enjoy it too. We have three songs we're singing for you today. We're going to sing My God is So Great, and we're going to sing The Wise Man and The Foolish Man, and 1, 2, 3, Jesus Loves Me.
Come on, that deserves a standing ovation.
Woo!
Thank you. Excellent job. Thank you so much, Stepping Stones. All right. Praise God for our kids. Amen. Paul Davenport, where are you? Paul, if you'll come up and help us regarding this Spring Break Youth Medical Mission trip and give us a little information in terms of where you're going and some of the things you're going to be doing. And if the mission team itself would also come up, if everyone is present, can you identify them and bring them up?
Yeah, as the mission team comes up, we have 30 that are going to Nicaragua. We leave Saturday. We're going to fly from Orlando down to Managua, and we will spend 5 days in the area of Metegalpa, and we'll be serving people who need help from the health ministry that you have provided. The medicines that you have provided through the Brown Bag Ministry has filled up about 25 suitcases of vitamins and analgesics and other types of medicines that we'll be taking.
Wow.
The mission box has made it possible for us to buy the antibiotics that we'll be using down when we're in Metegalpa. And so this is a group of people who have, not all of it, I told the team, you'll never see the whole team together until we're on the plane, and then that team never gets together again until we leave.
Wow.
And so I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves.
I'm Austin Bass.
I'm Sean Upshaw.
I'm Paul Davenport. And by the way, this is our 12th trip that the Trinity has sponsored.
Wow. Thank you.
Linda Ebling.
Eva Dimitrov.
John Betts.
Kelsey Kimball.
Briggs Kirby.
Alice Polly.
Laurie Negley.
Amber Monk.
Amy Kirby.
Donna Wegener.
Austin Scott.
Cindy Rowling.
Harvey Rowling.
Kelsey Ann Holt.
Adam Ann Holt.
Okay. Amen. Thanks so much for that, Paul. Let me just have a brief word of prayer with you. Let us bow our heads now. Gracious God, we indeed thank you for how you're using our church to be at work throughout all of the world. We pray now for your blessing to undergird them with your protection, with your care. And God, as you send them with physical medicine, also send them with your spiritual medicine to promote the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this outstanding group. Please be with them in a special way. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you and thank you so much for doing this. Let's hear it again for this group. Thank you. And friends, at this time, we have the pleasure of welcoming and receiving new members into the life of the church. If Jim and Sonny Kaysen are here, if you'll come forward at this time. Jim and Sonny Kaysen, and also Stacy Provost. Nick, are you here this morning? Stacy is here. All right. Praise the Lord for you. Dan is going to come up now and ask you just a few questions. If you'll stand there.
Great to see you again. Welcome. I think you're going to Alpha, maybe. Oh, good. And welcome in your, how'd you find Trinity?
Actually, I've heard about it, and when I was single, somebody told me about the single lifeline.
Oh, okay.
And, not that I actually got to use it very much, but, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, we welcome you, and you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do you? Do you promise as God gives you help and strength to live a life that will be pleasing to God, will you?
Yes.
Will you support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service, will you?
Yes.
Let me pray with you. God, we thank you for Stacy, for her coming and being a part of Trinity United Methodist Church, surrounded with your love as we join hands together in the work you've called this church to be about, and for her own special calling. Bless her, her child, her family. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Stacy. Welcome. Would you give Stacy a warm welcome? Thanks. What are we doing now?
Prayer of dedication.
Prayer of dedication? Oh, okay. Before we, you know, perspective is a big deal. And some of you last night were feeling, oh, how did we blow that lead in the basketball game, weren't you? But what you need to say is, wow, this team went so far, didn't they? Amazing how they went. I mean, how many of you had them going that high in your bracket? Anyway, we're thrilled about that. Notice in the paper today, too, we whipped up on South Carolina in baseball, gymnastics, lacrosse, women's softball. Stand and turn to somebody you didn't come to church with and say, this is a great sports town, would you? Greet the people around you. And would the dancers please come to the...
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated. As you've already heard a wonderful presentation regarding this morning's mission box, please keep Sustainable Cambodia in your thoughts and prayers. At this time, let us pray. Gracious God, you indeed are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we understand that giving is a part of worship, O Lord. And so we worship you through giving you this offering. Bless it and use it now for the expansion of your kingdom in the world. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm not going to take the pulpit out. Wow, wonderful job. Thank you, dancers. Wow. Thank you, Susan Covey, for leading that wonderful ministry. Thanks, David. Yeah. We've been looking during the season of Lent at the seven last words of Jesus that he spoke from the cross. The first church Jan and I were appointed to after we were associates, the first church in Bridgeton, New Jersey. And on Good Friday, they had a three-hour Good Friday service. You could kind of come and go. They always had it every year, and they did the seven last words of Jesus. Very meaningful, but I tell you, this year, I think it's been maybe more meaningful to me as we slowed down and looked at each one. The first one, Monique spoke about, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then Jesus said to the thief on one side of the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. But Jesus said to his mother, woman or mother, here's your son, John, and John, here's your mother. Last week, this cry of dereliction from the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And today, we have the fifth and sixth words from the Gospel of John. John's the only one that mentions, I thirst. But we'll let's look at the scripture here as it comes up on the screen. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture. Now, if you look in your Bibles, what it means to say to fulfill the scripture, you might get a reference to Psalm 69. But I want to suggest to you today that really it's the whole of scripture and the reference is water. And what I want to do today is talk a lot about water. Not only about what Richard and Susan and folks are doing in Cambodia with water and what our medical missions and Living Water International. You can't live without water. But the symbolism of it, not only in baptism, but in the Old Testament, up to this point where Jesus says, I thirst. Huge. We'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about what Jesus did on the cross and what it means to us. So that's where we're going. A bowl full of vinegar stood there, and they put a sponge full of the vinegar on hyssop. Now, John's the only one that mentions hyssop. Other Gospels will refer to a sponge or vinegar being put up to Jesus' mouth. Only John hyssop. Because John, at one point, scholars thought that John was the simplest, sort of a child's version of the Gospels. And then they realize, no, it's the deepest of the Gospels. And he has these allusions that are there that you might not see. Hyssop was the same branch. You remember in Exodus chapter 12, when the children of Israel were ready to escape from slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea, and before they left, they said, don't make the bread, make unleavened bread, and so they do until this day at Passover, and sprinkle the doorpost of your house with the blood of the lamb, and put it on there with what kind of branch? Hyssop. John makes this allusion to what he said when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So that's part of what's going on with hyssop. And they held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, some of us were talking at some meetings at the church recently, and what are the big issues facing the world, facing our area? And Herrick Smith, who's a retired landscape architect, brilliant man, said, you know, I think one of the critical issues in the world and in North Florida is water. Water. And indeed it's the case, because water throughout the script, the Bible begins and ends with the reference to water. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit hovered over the waters. Chapter 2. God planted Adam and Eve in the garden, and a river ran through it. The river's names were the Pishon, the Gihon, the Tigris, and the Euphrates. Revelation 21. Come to me, all who are thirsty. I'll give you the water of life. In the last chapter of Revelation 22, in the main street of the heavenly Jerusalem, flowing down the main street is this river of life, life-giving water, and on either side is the tree of life. And they branch and bear fruit in each of the 12 seasons. So So the water, the Bible is full of this notion of water and its incredible importance. One of you shared with me that you've been to the Grand Canyon and went rafting down that river. And down at the bottom, water has this power. So over millions of years, it is worn down because the nature of water is it will go where it's going to go. And worn down that, and he said, at the bottom was a rock that the guy said, this is 2.6 billion years old. Whenever I take myself too seriously, I think of that little rock at 2.6 billion years old, and I'm just a nanosecond in time. But through the Bible, the book of Exodus, children of Israel, go through the parted Red Sea. The Egyptians are covered back with it. The book of Joshua, before they can enter the promised land, they go through the Jordan River. Ruth and Naomi and Orpah, when they decide to come back from Moab, back to Bethlehem, they go down to the river to say their goodbyes, because we always go to the river to say our goodbyes. Shall we gather at the river? And then they came back over. Psalm 42, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after you, O God. And then in the prophetic literature, Isaiah and all the prophets looking to that great day, they'll say, one day when the Messiah comes, there'll be streams in the desert. Amos said that, let justice roll down like the waters, righteousness like a never-ending stream. You see all of this power. Zechariah envisioned the day when living water will spring up in Jerusalem, and part will go down to the Dead Sea, part will go to the Mediterranean Sea. The Joel said the water will spring up in Jerusalem, and all the water courses of the desert will be filled with water. But the main one is Ezekiel 47. You remember? He looked into the future and he saw water under the temple, some coming down of the east, some down of the south. And the guy with him measured it, and first it was an inch deep up to your ankles, and then it was up to my knees, and then it was up to my waist, and then it was such a mighty river, I couldn't even get across it. And everywhere it went, everything grew, flourished, even down to the Dead Sea where the fish were dead. They came to life. Fishermen cast their nets. So water has this sense of life-givingness. And so when Jesus in chapter 7 of the Gospel of John stands up and says, whoever thirsts, let him come to me. And from within will come rivers of living water. He was fulfilling in himself the culmination of all this Old Testament prophecy. Out of Jerusalem will come springs of living water. And Jesus said, that's me. Jesus made the most audacious claims that they weren't true. Because they're true. He said, I'm the source of living water. And through John's Gospel, there's these references to water. Jesus turns water into wine. Nicodemus learns that he has to be born of water and the Spirit. Jesus meets with the woman at the well and says, if you knew who was talking with you, would ask me for a drink of water, because whoever drinks of the water I give will never thirst again. So what John is doing in this text, when Jesus says, I thirst, it's a bit of holy irony that the God of the universe, Jesus, who's God himself, the source of water that will quench anyone's thirst forevermore, has to say, I thirst. I thirst. It means that Jesus has come to the place of full humanity. He's emptied himself. Part of the reason we wanted to use the Philippian Creed today, if you'll come back to the affirmation of faith that we did, one of the earliest creeds in the Bible, so early that Paul, when he wrote Philippians, took this early creed and inserted it. You'll see it that way in your scriptures. Here's the truth. Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, now one of you asked me last week about the Trinity. I was saying, Jesus called out to God, why, my God, why have you forsaken me? And how could that be if Jesus and God are one and yet Jesus is different? And that's the mystery of the Trinity. And I said, you know what? You're a woman, you're a wife, you're a mother, and you're a teacher. You're all three and yet one. And that's a rough idea of what's going on in the Trinity. So Jesus, who was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. But here he did. He emptied himself in this act of enormous love. Emptied himself, taking the form of a human being, a servant, being born in the likeness of humanity. Go to the next, would you? And humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. So when Jesus said, I thirst, he's saying, God, I've done it all. I've done everything you've asked me. I've come from the realms of glory down to the lowest point. A fully human being, I thirst. And then he said, it's finished. Amazing what he's done for us. Now, this gets to the idea, we ask the question, let's go to the, when Jesus said it's finished, what did he mean? Now, this gets us to the idea of the atonement. Now, this is a theological term, and I don't usually use heavy theological terms in my sermon. I don't show the structure of a building as much as I show the inside of it, as it were. But everybody who's ever taken Frank Moses' class, Christian Believer, which I recommend to everybody, says, why doesn't Dan ever tell us this theological stuff? So here you got it. The atonement is really important, because what Jesus did is what we call the atonement, bringing us into harmony with God. And there are several facets of the atonement that what Jesus did is such, so beyond our ability to fully understand. It takes these various facets of looking at it. And I hope you'll just hear everything I'm saying from this point on. Number one. One facet is the idea of substitution. That Jesus substituted himself for me, for you, for all of us. He took our sin upon himself. Even our punishment, what we deserve. He substituted himself. We, in our fallenness, in our sinfulness, deserve to be separated from God forever, but Jesus substituted himself. That's the substitutionary atonement. Number two. Now I'm saying, all of these are valid. Takes all of these. But I want you to hear all four of these. Power of love. The theologians call this moral influence. With this one, when you and I are overwhelmed by the love of God and what God did for you and me. Wow. That God in His awesomeness came down and poured out love for us, and even to the giving of His own Son. And it affects us so that we want to live for Him. We're amazed at the power of His love. We'll sing songs about it. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Do you see what I'm saying? Power of love. Now, I was loved into the kingdom. This is the aspect of atonement that I'm drawn most to. Those of you who grew up in the Baptist church, you've probably grown most to number one, the substitutionary atonement. We'll talk a little bit more about that if we have time. Oh, love divine, what hast thou done? The incarnate God has died for me. Wow. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul? Well, that was still on the power of love. This transformative thing that affects us, empowers us, changes us. Now, number three, the sacrificial offering. In the Old Testament, people would bring grain offerings, animal offerings, things to God to say, God, we love you, and here's an expression of how much we love you. It's what you and I do with our tangible tithes and offerings. We don't do that, I trust, to try to manipulate God. It's an expression. It's an expression of worship of God. Here, I love you, and I express that in this gift. There are also these sin offerings. God, I recognize that I've done things wrong, and I ask your forgiveness, and I give of something that cost me something. Sacrificial offering. In fact, every year, Yom Kippur, our Jewish brothers and sisters celebrate the Day of Atonement. And the high priest in the early days would go into the Holy of Holies. They'd sacrifice an animal. Then would come out and take the scapegoat and put on the goat the sins of the people and send it off. That's the sacrificial offering. And Jesus, who is our high priest, instead of offering an animal, offered himself on our behalf. This is the one I think John is most drawn to. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then fourth, Christus Victor, Christ the victory. I'm also drawn to this one. In fact, if you think about the sermons that I've preached, it'll be number 2 and number 4 mainly. But all are necessary. But this is the one that what Jesus did on the cross was so powerful. It broke the power of Satan and death. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? It broke the power of canceled sin and sets the prisoner free. And the sense that death is swallowed up in victory, and he empowers us to live a victorious life. Now, if you, stay with me now, this is still important. You know, God is holy and God is love. And when we get it right, we know that God is holy love, both together. But the tendency is to emphasize one slightly over the other. And if you come from a tradition that the holiness and justice of God are a little bit higher than the love, you'll probably be drawn to number 1 and number 3. Because God's justice and Jesus is a substitution for you. If you're like me, you've been Methodist all your life, drawn to the love of God, then you're overwhelmed by God's love for us. And you want to live in response to that. And you have a sense of the victory. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's love? All of that, dear friends, is tied up when Jesus says, I thirst and it's finished. Now, what does it mean? What's the so what? What do you do with this? Here's what you do with it. Really important. Number 1, the substitution. Like I say, all these are really important. The substitution, when you and I, when we've done things we know are absolutely wrong, when we've broken trust in our relationship with our spouse or close friend, you can't go back and undo it. When you've seen things on the internet you know are wrong, when you've lied, you've cheated, when we feel ashamed, that's when we turn to Jesus and say, thank you for taking my place, because I can't do anything about it, but you have. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Powerful, powerful. There are other times when you pull away from God and something happens and you're just overwhelmed by the love of God. Maybe you come in here to church and you look at this window and you think, wow, what Jesus has done for me, and I've been taking it so for granted. And you're so moved by the love of God and you say, I want to live for you forever. I want to give you my life. The third, this offering. When you've had a spat with your spouse, you ask for forgiveness, but you also maybe give him or her flowers or write a note. Same with God. God, I've really messed up. I knew I shouldn't have done that. And I thank you that Jesus gave that offering of himself. Or finally, the sense of victory. Or maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's some old habits. Maybe it's some old fears, things that just sort of lock in on you. You say, no more. Jesus has won the victory. He's broken the power of all that stuff. I'm free. Victory. It's an important concept. Now, each Sunday, almost every Sunday, we invite you to, if you'd like to receive Holy Communion, anybody is welcome to receive it. Some people say, why do we do this each Sunday? Well, partly because we have former Roman Catholics, Episcopalians, Lutherans, who come to worship here, and also John Wesley took Holy Communion several times a week. And because when you and I come, no matter what's on our heart, we can hold that bread and take that cup, and we know we're holding the presence of Christ who stood in our place, loved us beyond imagining, offered Himself, broke the path, and we can invite Him into our lives. We can say, here I am, Jesus. I receive You. Please forgive me. And start anew and afresh. All is wiped clean. All is made new. The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. If you receive it, resolve in your heart with the help of God to live for Him forever and ever. Would you pray with me? God, we are on holy ground today. Jesus isn't just expressing human need, I thirst. He's saying so much more. He got thirsty because of what He did for us. And I'm just overwhelmed. And I know many are. So be known to us. May someone here today receive You. And in so receiving, receive forgiveness of sins, a new life in Jesus the Christ. We pray this in His holy name. Amen. Would you stand as you and sing our closing hymn? Feel free to come and receive Holy Communion. There's gluten-free wafers down front.
Bear patiently.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together.
Friends continue to come, would you take somebody's hand and receive the benediction? Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.